unbelief. Now, I wish I could say that my faith is totally perfected in every area, but I'm still growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord. Is anybody with me on that? How many knows it's a process of change? Would you agree with me? And I believe that we need to get it down so we can help other people. Are you with me? When Jesus says, heal the sick, raise the dead, how many knows that's some serious stuff? Yes or no? How many knows that's like putting your faith out there on the line? How many want to see that stuff happen? Are you with me? It's more than just praying for the sick, it's healing the sick. Come on. How many knows if you get it all down, you need to pray for somebody else? In Mark chapter 9, we're going to start with verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around him and the scribes questioning them. Now Jesus is up on the mountain. He's taken three of his disciples with him. The rest are at the foot of the mountain waiting for him to return. Now notice that the scribes are questioning them. How many of those scribes really weren't walking in faith? If you notice, they challenged Jesus on every account. He spoke to them the truth. And I want you to know that people will question your faith when you're walking in true biblical faith. And if you're serving Jesus, people are going to come against that. Somehow, somewhere, some snide comment, somebody not being there. It could be as close as your family or a distant person you've never met before. Oh, kind of quiet. I want to know that when you're walking in faith, things happen. If you're going to deal with unbelief, number one, if you're taking notes, stop listening to everybody else's voice. Notice the scribes were questioning them. Are you hearing me? Look at verse 16. And he asked the scribes, why, what question ye them? Jesus speaks to them. How many knows that they have an area where they'll bring you down? And there's one thing to have struggles. It's another thing to have people bring you down. You need to have people in your life speaking faith and caring for you. How many agree? I don't need to have people speak with my unbelief. I need people who are going to walk in faith and trust the Lord to touch things. Are you with me? Oh, come on. We need to have people that will build us up. Jesus, why? What are you questioning there? He comes down and he sees the scribes. And believe me, they're in that area where they'll try to put a dig word in there. When the shepherd isn't near, the enemy comes and pounces. Say amen. In this church, I need under-shepherds here to watch, to observe, to make sure the enemy doesn't try to get a foothold, to speak things that are not. Amen? One of my cares is the care of the church. I hope you see that, church. It's on my heart continually. It's one that Paul said, listen, I go through this. I've been shipwrecked. I've been left for dead outside of Lystra. I've been beaten with rods. And besides all that, the care of the churches come upon. Because he knew that when he departed, grievous wolves would enter in. I understand that heart. Amen? As a congregation, I need you to be strong. I'm still battling some things. Say amen? Radiation is no joke. It is not fun at all on any level. Amen? Come on, look at verse 18. And one of the multitude answered, says, Master, I brought to thee my son who has a dumb spirit. And he takes him and he tears him and he foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth. He pines away. And I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cast him out. Look at verse 19. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring him to me. And when he brought him to him, when he saw him, immediately the spirit teared him, and he fell to the ground, and he wallowed foaming. How many think that's a pretty serious stuff for your kid? He's speaking that, listen to me, there's water, it throws him in the water. He's just going this area. There's convulsions. There's foaming at the mouth. Wouldn't you want something to happen for your kids? Now notice he brought him to who? Now if you notice previous in Scripture, remember when Jesus said, cast out demons, freely give, enter the city? And they did all that, and then they came back and said, man, even the demons are subject to us. They already knew that God could use them in healing and deliverance. It wasn't foreign to them at all. But now all of a sudden, they're facing a challenge. Jesus is on the mountain with three of his disciples being transfigured. He comes down. The scribes are questioning him. And here's a gentleman who wants a miracle for his kid. And I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't cast him out. How many think that would add to the gentleman's fear? I'll get to that in a minute. Verse 21. And he asked his father, how long since he came? How long? And he says, listen, since a child. And oftentimes they cast him in the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. Notice, if you can do anything. There's an expression of doubt. His faith is not there. He's already weak. He's already seen the disciples can't do anything. But if you can do something. Like all of us in this room, there are times we're faced with great challenges. Amen. Look at verse 23. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible for him who believes. How many knows there's a statement right there? If you can believe, all things are possible. It's a fundamental law of the kingdom of God. If you can believe, it's like this. To be able to believe, I'm able, Lord God. Jesus alone is able to make this statement. It's a simple fact. All things are possible for him who believes. How many knows that we still have that unbelief we have to deal with? Yes or no? He has a son that's foaming at the mouth. It's like it throws him in the water. It's cataclysmic events. It's like it's destroying his life. I bring him to your disciples and they can't do anything. But if you can do something, if you can do something, it's like he's hurting inside. He needs a miracle. Would you agree? Number two, to deal with unbelief, we need to stop our eternal questioning. Unbelief concerning the will of God and the power to heal. We need to say, Lord, you are able to heal. Would you agree? Is he able to heal? Yes or no? Jesus said, which is easier to say, pick up your mat and walk, or your sins be forgiven? We have salvation down in the church. Don't we? We preached it, we've heard it, and it's amazing that we can get our life right with God eternally, but how about the other areas of life? Everybody say amen. Now, what if that was you? You prayed for the kid and nothing happened. How would it be like, oh man. Here's a life and death situation placed right in your lap. Jesus comes down from the mountain, and what does he say? Oh, faithless generation, do I have to be here at this moment to see this done, or will you believe me and do what I said? Now, he already gave them the commission, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, didn't he? Didn't he give them power to trample over all the works of the enemy, yes or no? In Mark chapter 16, didn't he give the same power to the church? Yes or no? So everybody in this room has the same commission. It's more than just pray for the sick. It's heal the sick. How many knows that's a big difference? This guy is looking for a miracle for his kid, and the church needs the answer. We can't excuse it. We can't just say, well, that's fine. God doesn't heal every time. Really? How many times has God touched you? Many times. Does he care about you? Which of you parents would want your kids well? Anybody here? Listen to me. If sickness is God's plan, then we all should pray a double portion of it. Say amen. Then how do we get that power that's already available working in our life? And not only transforming us, but flowing through us to touch other people. How many want to learn it? Yes or no? It's more than just a gift of miracles. It's everyday function. Do you believe it's God's will to heal? Yes or no? How many believe it is? Then we need to be totally convinced. Well, what if the Lord doesn't heal? Listen to me. He's a healing God. then Lord, let me, then it's me. I need to change. I'm not putting this on anyone else. I need to change. In Mark 11, verse 23, he says, speak to this mountain, be thou removed. How many knows that there are mountains that things need to move? The next part of the verse, if you don't doubt in your heart, you speak those things, they shall come to pass. Now, in my own mind, I think there's nothing harder than raising the dead. True? That person is no longer breathing. Their spirit has left their body, and then they come back alive. That's a pretty serious miracle. Would you agree? Notice when Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. He didn't say that there had to be levels with it. It's just my power. Sometimes in our mind we think, well, that's going to be harder for the Lord to do. Is it any harder for the Lord to do? Then we have to be fully convinced that God wants to work in these situations. Is this good this morning? I mean, we all need to learn this. I don't care how long you've been saved. I'll be honest with you. We all need to learn this. If we want the church to grow biblically, we got to get the power down. Amen? Any question of God's will? Now notice this guy came to him. If you can do something, it's a plea. Lord, if you can do something, it's a desperation thing. If you can do something, I don't want us to be that way when it comes to the Lord. I want us to be able to say, Lord, it is your will. Touch this body in the name of Jesus. I curse this area. Mountain, whatever that mountain is. Remember, every name that can be named, he's above that name. He's above cancer. He's above sickness. Mountain, be removed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When you know something's already provided for, it's a promise, then I can't have an excuse of unbelief. I need to repent of that. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. In James 1, 5 through 8, if you need wisdom, ask of God. He won't make you feel small. I'm asking the Lord, how does this all work? I've read it. I've seen it. I've seen God heal people. I've even had the Lord flow through me and seen people touched. But I want to walk in a greater level than that. Amen? I want to see it happen on a normal, regular basis. Wouldn't it be great to shut down hospitals because all the healing is there? Well, think about this. Peter's shadow. The people got to the place where if they can just stick him in an alleyway and he can walk by, they were all healed. How many think that's a pretty good miracle stance? Yes or no? Can you imagine that? People need a touch, don't they? We need a touch in here. How many need a healing virtue touch in here? How many have some family members that need a touch? It touches every family somewhere. So the needs are there. Amen? When it comes to God, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. According to his divine power, he has given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called you by glory and virtue. Notice God gives life and godliness, not sickness. We live in a sin-cursed world, and all our bodies have been affected by it. Now, if you're not healed in here, that doesn't mean you don't have faith. That's a misnomer. You have faith. How many believe the Lord can heal? Raise your hand. I need to see it. You have faith. It's already there. Even this much, a mustard seed, is enough. We all have at least that much. So it isn't a problem in that arena. But it's the problem that getting it done. Our unbelief, our senses many times take over. We don't feel it. We don't sense it. And we go through that mental battle. Our body screams out with all kinds of stuff, doesn't it? And if our mind isn't solid and rested, we can think all kinds of things. I'm the only one in here. In Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is our sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold for those who walk uprightly." Now look at verse 24, Mark 9, 24. "And straightway the father of the child cried out with tears, 'Lord, help my unbelief.'" How many of those, that's a powerful prayer? To deal with unbelief, we need to pray and cry out, "Lord, help me here." He said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." For the first time, something's going to begin to turn in this gentleman. Now picture this, Jesus is talking to him. It isn't like it's some strange, it's God Himself saying, "You know what? If you can believe, can you do something, Lord? If you can't help us." And He looks right at it and said, "If you can believe." How many knows it's back on the person again? Yes or no? This isn't an unusual demand. You want a miracle? I'm right in front of you. How many knows we need it in our life? How did you get saved? Wasn't it by faith? Yes or no? You activated what God gave you towards that area and something happened. I'm preaching this and living this. Can you, Lord, I believe. Help that area there that I just go back to. That's hard, that I don't see it happening. Help my unbelief. God will even minister through that. Are you with me? This prayer has great profit. Help my unbelief. Don't deny me on the account of my unbelief. Is this good? We cry out. How many knows that when you're desperate and you want it, you'll call out to it? Huh? You know, truly when you got saved, you were actually sincere about it. You really were. Whether there's tears that came down your face, you meant, "Lord, Jesus, forgive me." How many know that's a reality? "Lord, forgive me of all my sins." It's like you had that communion with God. You confessed your sins. "Lord, forgive me. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior." That sincerity, that humbleness, that opened up the area of miracles. This guy now is opening up to miracles. His heart is there. He's humbled there. "I've done all I can. Now I'm pushing past. Your disciples couldn't do it, but you can do it." Remember now, this is current stuff. He's not like he's had weeks about this. It's boom, 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 boom. And now, "Lord, help me. I want this so bad for my kids." Don't you want it so bad for your kids? Then I'm going to just, everybody smile at me because I'm going to hit you real hard because I love you. Don't you want this real bad for other people too? Don't you want this bad for other families? Then you get the key. You get the victory because people need it. People need it. Amen? Are you enjoying this morning? Look at verse 25. "And when Jesus saw that the people come running together, He rebuked the foul spirit and said, 'Dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and what? Enter no more.'" Notice the words Jesus is using. He's speaking to the situation. He takes the authority the Father has given him. You need to also. "Come out of him and never enter again." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, even to the place he looked like he was dead. And the people said, "Look, he's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifting him up, and he arose. Now, that's pretty dramatic, wouldn't you say? How'd you like to see that played out in front of you? All of a sudden, that spirit cries, and he's foaming already, and he's wailing already, and now he looks like he's dead. Notice what the people always do. People will always add their 2 cents to it. "Jesus killed him! Can you see the scribes? Look at that. Man, he'd been better off leaving them alone. The people said, 'He's dead! He's dead!'" How many think that would hurt you? What if that was you and we pray for somebody and boom, they fell out and it looked like they were dead? Fear can enter in. Instantly, fear can enter in. And Jesus went up and goes, he's not dead. He's alive. He's free from every bondage. He's free from every sickness. Can the church operate in that type of power? Yes or no? Perfect love casts out what? All fear. Look at verse 28. And when they came into the house, notice there's some time. The disciples ask him privately, why couldn't we cast them out? And here's the answer. Now it comes up in Matthew. Turn to Matthew. Hold your finger there. Matthew chapter 17. He gives the answer. Now Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, remember some things are parallels. In Matthew 17 verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your what? Your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you'd say to this mountain, be removed to another place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Because of your unbelief, you looked at the situation and you felt it was greater than what I could do. You used the external things to dictate my power. The same power I gave you before, I still got for you. And since I'm not with you at this moment, can't you walk in faith? Exercise what I gave you. It's not a matter of how well you are. It's a matter of trusting in who your God is. Amen? Can you see Jesus saying, listen to me, you have it in you. It's yours. Trust me. It's really quiet today. Men are rebuked several times for unbelief. In Matthew 6, verse 30, it says, wherefore, so I clothe the grass of the field this day, and I throw it in the oven. How much more than you mean to me, O you of little faith? In divine protection, Matthew 14, 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Remember when he was sinking? He took his eyes off of who? I've never walked on water personally. But Peter had the place, Lord, can I come out there too? He had a moment there where like, dude, I can do that. You're doing it. I can do what you just did. Until he looked around, saw the sea, saw the waves. What am I doing? Begin to sink. And here's a greater thing. Can you imagine him starting to sink? Jesus is not on a firm foundation and still picks them back up. Isn't that so cool? Oh, ye of little faith. Lord, we're going over to the other side. Jesus said that. I'm going to go take a nap. Lord, get up. We're perishing. Don't you care? And he got up. Oh, ye of little faith. He rebuked the wind and the sea stopped. Can you see how the Lord gets in this area? We need to exercise the faith that we are, and we are. Lord, help my unbelief. Say amen. Lord, drive this from me. Let me believe that you're able to do this. Let me believe, Lord God, the same miracles that you performed, you're going to do it again. And Lord, use me. This guy had a legitimate thing. Lord, help my unbelief. I've called out to the Lord. I believe you can heal. I don't have a shadow of a doubt about it. Lord, help my unbelief. Help when I don't see it manifest instantly, you're still already doing it. That by your stripes, I am healed. Amen? Let me walk in faith, not by symptoms. But God, your word is true. It's impossible for God to lie. Amen? Is this good this morning? Verse 29. And he said to them, this kind goes forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Notice this kind. A demon is a demon. Amen? This type of demon, you know what, is going to come out by this. But let me add another thing. This kind of unbelief goes out by fasting and prayer too. So be fasted and prayed up. Be spiritually prepared. The disciples need to be spiritually prepared for whatever challenge came their way. Not that it was any harder. A demon is a demon. but be spiritually prepared. Prepare yourself spiritually. Is this good? Listen to me. Don't cultivate in your mind unbelief. But believe in your heart that speaking air from your heart. I'm going to speak the victory here. I need to be ready on every occasion. God is sufficient in every area. If I'm preoccupied and I'm only thinking about what the scribes have said, if I only just listen to the doctors, I appreciate doctors, I appreciate people in that profession, no doubt about it. But I want to build my faith too. Amen? And I'll be totally honest with you, some of them need some bedside manners. You can walk away defeated going, oh man, there's no hope for me, hallelujah. How many of you need to have Jesus speak? We need to put away some of the scribes in our life and begin to focus on what God puts in our heart and mind. His word I've hid there so I don't sin against thee. You need to take biblical examples and say, you know what? I need to pray for this. If everything's cool for you, then pray for your children. And if everything's cool with them, then how about come to church and pray for people? How about let's take it another step farther? How about when we're out in the world? Somebody needs a touch, I'll pray for you. I know for a fact there'll be times where you'll be faced with a situation where the Lord will want you to pray for somebody and it won't be convenient. You'll think about it like I should do it, you know you should do it, and sometimes we'll walk right by it and you'll feel awful later. Yes or no? Those opportunities go, you know what? No, I'm not going to be fearful. Lord, if you're prompting me to pray, then you're going to do something. Then take that step of faith. The church needs to be about its Father's business. Amen? Listen, exercise daily devotion. By fasting, you're denying your body the suitable substance it needs. But I'm going to walk out. I'm going to get the word out. To deal with unbelief, fast and pray. Listen, sometimes you may have to turn that off to get more of what he has. And don't do this. Don't have a devotion like it becomes so mechanical. Because then it becomes dry. If you said to your family, now I know it's structured at times, but you say, you know what, between 5 and 6, that's when we're going to have family time, whether you like it or not. How many of us, that doesn't work for the Lord either? He wants to spend time. Oh, okay, I'm glad you're doing this, but listen, have it where it works in. Are you with me? Have a time, but have it work in. Don't be so like, oh, it's got to be this way. Amen? The Lord will show up, but I'd rather have it a loving time. Are you with me? And I've learned this. If you spend time with the Lord, you'll want to spend more time with Him. You'll make a way because you love. True? Be like that with my wife. Honey, you have 20 minutes right now. Let's get busy. Let's have some great time together. Time's up! Don't have your devotion that way. Have time, but don't have it that time. Is this good? Now notice Jesus now meeting the guy's needs. What if that was you and you're watching all this? And then your kid freaks out and he looks like he's dead. How many would be like, oh, yes or no? You'd be like, oh, he's not moving. What would be going through your brain? You just asked him to help you, didn't you? Then listen, expect his results, not your results, or the way you want it to come to pass. And if things get way wild out there, Jesus is still in control of it. Amen? Even if the situation looks bleak and dead, He'll just lift you up. Hallelujah. For the first time in this boy's life, he said from a child, he's going to be in his right mind. How would that walk home be that day? How would you feel that day? Walking with your kid, no longer foaming at the mouth, no longer seizures, no longer possession. How would you feel that day? Would you be like, oh, so cool? Yes or no? But it's amazing to me, even if we get a miracle like that, how quick we can forget the Lord. They all pass through the Red Sea, and in a very short time, you don't care about us. You brought us out here to die. Miracle won't keep you in the kingdom. A heart change did. I pray that this guy, when he called out, and I don't know, But I pray that his heart's like, Lord, thank you for the miracle. I'll serve you all the days of my life. Not for just what you did, because you cared for me. Amen. What is our devotion like? How many want to deal with unbelief? Amen. Oh, is this good? In Matthew, I read it in verse 17, verse 20, a faith of a grain of a mustard seed. That little bit will do. But Lord, take the unbelief out. Lord, I'm going to work your word in there that I don't have a doubt in my mind and heart. When the first time he told them to go raise the dead, heal the sick, they had no doubt about it. They were excited. They went out. And man, this happened and this happened and this happened. They came back with great testimonies. They all did. And now all of a sudden they're in their place of defeat. Why couldn't we do it? Listen, if you prayed for people before and nothing happens, don't give up. The enemy wants you to. No, get back on that. Amen? I'm going to look at unbelief like this demon going, you're going to go. Worldly thinking, go. Preoccupied, go. Fear, go. Sickness, be removed. Fasting and prayer is a fundamental condition for victory of faith over the kingdom of darkness. No wonder Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights when he entered into the temptation. He was going to take on Satan himself. Nobody has ever gotten victory over the enemy. Everyone fell because of the flesh. For the first time, Jesus is going to step on in and get victory. Is this good? The prayer of faith. It's holding on to the Lord. It's deriving your strength from him. That fasting and prayer is a practical renunciation of the world. I'm getting this stuff out. And we're bombarded, church. Every thought, every action, every time. And there's no faith coming from your television. Now, I'm not saying everything is evil. I enjoy some sporting things like some of you. But you know what? When's the last time you heard some great faith coming from? Amen? I mean, that's something that you're going to have to sow in. You're going to have to put in yourself. Lord, then let me have that area. An encounter with Jesus will change your situation. Lord, help my, I believe, help my unbelief. Is this good today? In every generation, we have to look and say, you know what? I don't want to be a perverse and faithless generation. He spoke that to his disciples. Oh, you perverse and faithless generation. Notice it's a loving rebuke. The Lord will speak what you're doing right, and he'll bring correction so you change. That's a loving parent. That's a loving parent. If the Lord says, you need to work on this, you need to turn that off, you need to do this, those are things that you should say, yes, Lord. Not, no, I'll get around to it. No, yes, Lord. It'll keep you from falling. He's trying to help you. Jeff and I had this conversation this morning. God isn't trying to hide truth from us. He's not going to try to say, well, if you get to a certain level, I'll give you that. No, seek him. Like any parent that wants to teach his kids, the Lord will teach us too. We need to listen and God understand and go through it. Amen? But if we have that independent spirit, we try to act alone, I want you to know that that ends up in nowhere. The power comes through him. Then I'm going to trust in the Lord. Lord, use me as a vessel. Flow through me. I have that anointing inside that pertains to life and godliness. Lord, we're going to flip that switch and see that power flow. Amen? And sometimes during our present state of weakness, sometimes it's hard to believe for somebody else. True? This guy's, he's invested. It's dramatic. It's like exhausting. It's your own kid. It isn't like the neighbor kid down the street. It's like you're invested in this. Sometimes that adds another level. Can I get an amen? But whatever you're going through, it doesn't change his power. Amen? As a church, we need to repent for unbelief. Well, why do I need to do that? Because the world needs a touch, we need a touch. And he's the God who can touch. Lord, and I humble myself. Forgive me, Lord, for walking in unbelief. Am I yet with anybody in this room? As we close, I want us to be humble in this. Humble yourself. Don't let you humble yourself. If you humble yourself, you won't be humbled. Father, forgive us. Lord, corporately as a church. Lord, we have faith. We have faith, Lord Jesus. But help our unbelief. Help us not to trust in our senses or allow others to speak into that like the scribes. Or let fear arise of what man or will it work? But Lord, like this gentleman, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I'm honest with you, Jesus. I want to see miracles manifest normal in our service. Lord, flow through these bodies to lay hands on the sick. You said to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to be that, Lord God, that person of life. Father, we curse any sicknesses in our bodies in the name of Jesus. Like you, Lord, you gave us a key. We command the sickness to go and enter no more. Mountain, be thou removed. Now I want you to begin to speak to your mountain. Whether it's for you or somebody else, I want you to have that faith in you. No, this is not going to win. This is not going to defeat me. My kids will be well in the name of Jesus. My body will be whole. My family will be well. The people I come in contact with will be healed. Use that authority in Christ. Are you speaking to that mountain, church? I can't do it for you. You have to do it. Father, a corporate healing upon this church. Not one sick among us. Increase the power flowing through our lives, that we can take it to the streets. Those we come in contact with. Lord, flow through these hands. Lord, the words, faith-filled words, speaking into that situation. Calling that which is not as though it were. Lord, you working with us with signs following. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this church. Their love, their support. And I speak healing over each one. Over each family. Send your word and heal. And we'll trust you, Lord Jesus. We need wisdom. We'll ask you, and you'll give it to us. Now bless your people as they go. Lord, strengthen each one with power. Lord God, bring back to remembrance, Lord God, these truths. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. I went a little longer this morning, church, but I felt it was needed.